Good morning. My name is Diana Case, and the scripture for today is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to his name.
Thanks be to God indeed. Friends, as we open our hearts to God's word, will you pray with me? Our Lord and our God, we come before you this day grateful for your goodness, grateful for your grace, grateful for all that hope we just sang about that we find in you. Grateful that even when darkness seems to hide your face, God, we can rest in your unchanging grace. Our God, help us to rest in that grace even now. Open our hearts to that grace even now. And as we explore your scripture together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing. Be gracious to you, O God. Amen. Well, friends, on this day, I simply add my words of welcome to you this morning as we worship God together. And I want to add my words of thanks to so many who contribute to our worship services, our amazing worship team leading us in song today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Our incredible tech and sound people, Pastor Sheila, really bringing it strong on the tambourine this morning. Loving that. And I would just say an extra special thank you to Diana Case and to Jay for helping us out in reading the scripture this morning. You know, in so many ways, this is not an easy scripture to read or to hear. And yet, in the scripture, we find a woman who is an advocate and a caregiver for a dear one in her life. It's her daughter in this case. And in this woman, we see persistence and faith, passion and determination, a willingness to do whatever it takes to care for her dear one. And so as I hear Diana's voice this morning, and I know her to be a tenacious caregiver, I simply must take a moment to name how profoundly grateful I am for her and for so many caregivers in our Cokesbury congregation. And I am mindful this morning of caregivers all across the world right now in these difficult days. This morning, I am simply holding a huge place in my heart for all who care and advocate for those whose voices are either silenced or ignored, are dismissed, or are rejected. Because our very challenging scripture passage this morning offers us an unexpected encounter in an unexpected place with an unexpected advocate for God's grace and healing. One who demands God's restoration for all God's people. And while this scripture passage starts and ends with Jesus on the move and healing this woman's daughter, the bulk of this encounter, if we take it seriously, can leave us shocked, can leave us dismayed, upset, confused, maybe even sad or angry. It is a perplexing scene, to say the least, and you can ask Pastor Sheila, or you can ask my husband, or you can ask my mom, and they will all tell you that God has been working on me big time with this particular scripture. I mean, where do we even begin? Jesus and his disciples are in this border region far away from the Sea of Galilee, where they spend most of their time, when a Canaanite woman, a mother, approaches Jesus to beg for help for her daughter. It seems that at first Jesus completely ignores her. The disciples seem to be annoyed and they start asking Jesus to get rid of her. And then Jesus sort of talks about her in front of her to the disciples. And even after she physically gets herself in front of them, kneeling down, begging for help, Jesus responds in such a distressing way that my original title for this sermon was something to the effect of, "Wait a minute, did Jesus really just call her a dog?" It takes your breath away. His treatment of this woman is painfully disorienting and shocking to those of us who are so accustomed to his typical compassion and patience with people. And yet somehow, this determined, persistent advocate, this faith-filled mother, is not at all deterred. Rather, she finds the words to give voice to her belief in a God whose grace is so great that even crumbs, she says, the crumbs that fall from the table of God's grace are so great, they are sufficient, she believes, to heal her daughter. And at this unexpected profession of faith, Jesus finally acknowledges her, addresses her, says that her faith is great, and heals her daughter at that very moment. Friends, there is a lot going on here. And as we take our time this morning with this story, I simply want to invite you to pay attention to your inner voice today, to pay attention to the aspects of this story that might be particularly challenging or difficult for you, right? I'm inviting us into a little bit of self-monitoring today. If there is a moment, if there already has been a moment where you feel angry or anxious or troubled, pay attention to that. If there is a moment where you feel hopeful or grateful or encouraged, pay attention to that. I encourage you to take out your Bibles this morning, to get a piece of paper out and underline these words, these passages, write them down, and engage with the things that trouble you, the things that inspire you. Friends, I invite you this morning to give yourself permission to feel all of the feelings a scripture story like this one will so likely bring out. Write them down, share them with a friend, pray over them. Because it is often in our greatest discomfort that God will speak to us a new word of transformation, of change, of an opportunity to grow. Because this is a story of great risk and great faith. And believe me, there is inherent to this story an invitation for even us to take great risk too, to have great faith too, to be transformed by God. So again, pay attention to how you are feeling, to be open, to be honest, and to trust God to help us work through the scripture together. Amen. I'm imagining people saying amen right now. So as we often do when we consider a story of this magnitude, a story such as this, I want to take a moment to recall the context in which all of this is taking place. Right, so we have been in this incredible sermon series on the Gospel of Matthew, and what an amazing opportunity this has been for us as we think about the fact that there are four Gospels, each of which shares with us the story of Jesus. We know that each Gospel brings to us unique aspects about who Jesus is. And you know, for the author of Matthew, it is clear from chapter one, from that genealogy of Jesus in the very beginning of the gospel, it is important to Matthew, it is important to his community to remember that this Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the son of David, the one for whom the Jewish people, the people of Israel, have been waiting. And throughout Matthew's entire gospel, we find many references to all of these Hebrew scriptures that Matthew says are fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And as we heard in our scripture reading today, Jesus himself understands his mission up to this point to be to the lost sheep of Israel. We need to remember that as we work through our scripture today. And now in Matthew's gospel, we also come to know Jesus as a teacher, a preacher, a healer, a leader, one who is not afraid to engage with those who see the world differently than he does. And most recently, especially in our time in worship, we have found Jesus with the disciples around the Sea of Galilee, and he's traveling around performing all of these miracles. It was just 2 weeks ago that Pastor Sheila shared with us the feeding of the 5,000, and we remember that this miracle occurs just after Jesus has learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, has died. And that even as Jesus tries to withdraw from the crowds and to be by himself, when he sees those lost sheep, when he views the helpless crowds, he is filled with compassion and he empowers the disciples to feed the crowds, and everyone leaves with full bellies and full hearts. And in those baskets full of leftovers, we glimpse in Matthew's gospel the abundance of God. And then last week, where did we go? We were on the sea. We were reminded of that miracle of Jesus walking on the water after he had once again attempted to withdraw, to be by himself, to be in prayer on the mountain. Yet as the storms begin to rage, what does Jesus do? But he comes and he calms the sea, checking in on his dear ones and calming the anxious and fearful disciples. And then in this first part of chapter 15 of Matthew, the events just prior to our scripture reading for today, we find Jesus and the disciples now stepping off of that boat, and they're arriving on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. And who are they met with but Pharisees and legal experts come all the way up from Jerusalem, and they're there to trick Jesus and to challenge him and to push him just a little bit. So after he takes a moment to teach people about the importance of having a heart for God, our scripture passage picks up and says that from there, from that shoreline area around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus withdraws once more and travels a full day's walk all the way north to the regions of Tyre and Sidon, and finds himself most likely in a not so populated area, a desolate area, a borderland type of area. An unexpected place, it seems, where he and his disciples have this unexpected encounter with a Canaanite woman, the very unexpected advocate of our scripture story today. And friends, I take all of this time to remind us of who Jesus is in the Gospel of Matthew and of what has been going on in the life of Jesus and the disciples in the days leading up to this encounter, because it is important to remember that the events of our story today do not take place in a vacuum. Thank goodness we know a lot more about Jesus than what this story reveals. Context is important. In this story in particular, context is vital. So to begin with, we must note that Matthew uses the same Greek word to describe Jesus withdrawing to the region of Tyre and Sidon as he used when he described Jesus withdrawing after learning of the death of John the Baptist. Words matter in Matthew's gospel, and in Greek, the specific word here used indicates that Jesus is withdrawing either for rest and restoration, or that he is actually withdrawing in order to seek refuge from the threat of an enemy. The point being that when Jesus withdraws in this section of Matthew, he is not merely walking away or lightheartedly traveling on to some new place. It seems that in these particular days, Jesus is consistently making attempts to withdraw from others. And yet, in these particular days, Jesus is consistently interrupted by these unexpected encounters with people who need him desperately. So enter into this scene, a woman described as a Canaanite who is shouting. She is crying out to Jesus, calling him the Son of David and asking for mercy on behalf of her daughter, whom Scripture tells us is suffering terribly, terribly from demon possession. This woman, it seems, has learned that Jesus has withdrawn from Galilee, and she takes the initiative, purposefully going out to meet him in the middle of nowhere, expectant, hopeful, desperate, demanding his help. Again, we turn to context to fill in some gaps for us. You see, Matthew identifies this woman as a Canaanite, which is an odd description for anyone in the time of Christ. This is actually the only place where this word appears in the entire New Testament. But as we think about the Canaanites, we remember who they were, right? They were the original inhabitants of the land, the indigenous people of this land that was conquered by the Israelites thousands of years beforehand. Yet as Reverend Dr. Francis Taylor Gench points out, there were no Canaanites around in Jesus' day. So how can we account for this woman described in this particular way? Well, Gench goes on to point out that since the Canaanites were the ancient enemies of Israel, when Matthew identifies the woman as a Canaanite, she says that he is essentially spotlighting for his original readers that they should understand this woman as an enemy. She is a pagan. She is an ethnic and religious outsider according to the community standards of Matthew. And so when she immediately takes on the language of faith by calling Jesus the Son of David and asking for mercy on behalf of her and her daughter, she really turns the whole situation upside down, especially for that original audience in Matthew's community who were so concerned with connecting Jesus and his mission to these traditional Jewish understandings of faith. How could it be that this outsider, the sworn enemy of the people of Israel, could speak with such faithful and prayerful insider language? Friends, this is the unexpected encounter in an unexpected place with an unexpected advocate who points out that God's grace and healing and restoration are for all God's people, herself and her daughter included. This woman, this mother, this ethnic and religious outsider takes on the language of faith, takes on the risk of not only approaching a group of men, something that women of that time were not exactly encouraged to do, but she is also shouting and crying out, drawing all of this attention to herself and to them at all costs. This advocate will stop at nothing to find healing for herself and for her daughter. And at first, what do we see in Christ? Jesus does not seem to be impressed at all. We may be horrified to read that he does not respond to her at all. And if we are honest, we must name that at this point, it may be tempting for us to try to find some excuses for Jesus, right? Maybe Jesus is tired from all of that healing and all of that teaching and all of that traveling. Maybe Jesus is exhausted, weighed down by the grief of losing his cousin John. He keeps trying to withdraw. Maybe Jesus just needs some downtime, right? We've all been there. Somehow, as we think about this holy mystery of Jesus being fully human, fully divine, all at the same time, we wonder if it's possible that maybe we're just catching him in one of those more fully human moments. And yet, before we can even develop our excuses any further, we find the disciples rushing in, pleading with Jesus to send this woman away so she will stop shouting and creating a scene. And what begins as a story of remarkable risk and great faith on her part is nearly cut short by none other than the Son of David himself, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who has the power to heal and restore and help make whole, the one whom we have come to expect to act on her behalf. Friends, as we read the scripture, we cannot help but find ourselves wondering, what in the world is going on here? Where is the compassionate Jesus we have come to know? And again, we return to some context. You know, verse 24 in this passage does offer us a clue. When Jesus reminds the disciples that he understands his mission to be first to the lost sheep of the people of Israel, and we will give him that he, granted, he seems to be so passionate, very determined, quite focused on this particular mission, and perhaps that is admirable. But again, we struggle, and again, I would say we should struggle to understand why he holds back from healing the daughter of this woman in need. And in these moments, as if we are not already uncomfortable enough, at this point, this passionate mother, this persistent advocate, what does she do? But she places her whole person in front of Jesus, halting all forward progress for him. And she falls down, kneeling, prostrate in worship and in plea. Lord, help me. She cries. As we continue to feel the tension and discomfort rising within us when we read the response of Jesus, it can nearly knock the wind right out of us, can't it? It's like he seems to dig in even further to his convictions. He digs in even further to this understanding of a limited mission. God's bread is for the children, he says, the lost sheep of Israel, and not for the dogs, not for those who are outsiders. You know, in these moments, this could have been the final word for this woman. If this were me, it is very hard to imagine recovering from something like that, a devastating blow to her personhood and to the hope that she has for healing her daughter. And yet this woman, this mother, this foreigner, this perceived outsider presses in even more, and she stands firm and she claims her status as a beautiful, precious child of God. And friends, she will not be moved. So convinced is she of the abundant love, the abundant grace, the saving mercy and healing of God and Jesus Christ. And it's as if she is the one who actually reminds Jesus of who he actually is, of how big and gracious and loving, how merciful and kind and just God really is, that even a crumb off the master's table is enough. Even the smallest pieces of God's grace can heal and restore and make whole. And this unexpected advocate in this unexpected place brings her own unexpected wisdom to Jesus himself. And friends, here is the true miracle of this hard and holy story before us today. In the end, Jesus is changed by her. Jesus is affected by her. Jesus learns from her. Jesus is transformed when he is reminded of who God is and of who God has created and called each one of us to be. And by the end of Matthew's gospel, you know, we see a Jesus that has grown, that evolves in his understanding of his mission, calling his followers in the end, the Great Commission, to make disciples not just of the people of Israel, but to make disciples of all nations. And here we do well to remember that this understanding is actually quite consistent with the entire scripture salvation story. You know, Israel's calling from the very beginning was always to be a blessing. It was always to be an active agent of healing and of restoration for all the nations. So perhaps in this hard and holy unexpected encounter, perhaps this woman is reminding even Jesus of that call. Not only that God's grace and healing and restoration are for all of God's people, but also that we have the opportunity to be active agents ourselves of God's grace and healing and restoration for all of God's children. The good news of the gospel today, friends, is that great risk is taken by an unexpected person. Great faith is expressed in an unexpected place. Great change and transformation occur in an unexpected Jesus. And the gift there is that means great transformation is also available to even us when we are simply willing to believe in, to be changed by the God of abundant grace and love. Because even though this remarkable woman rightly acknowledges that merely a crumb from the table of God's grace can heal and restore, at the end of the day, our God is not interested in feeding God's precious people merely the crumbs or the scraps. Our God does not intend for some of us to sit at the table while others beg from the floor. Our God has not created or called us to be the kind of children who would ignore, neglect, or reject those who are crying out, who are shouting out in anguish and desperation for help and healing and wholeness, for justice and mercy and restoration. No, friends, to belong to the kingdom of God means that we are called to see and to identify who this woman is and all of the dear ones this woman represents in our own lives today and every single day. We are called to take up the cries for justice and mercy, to walk alongside and to advocate with and for all of God's children. So as we close our time in this scripture today and we think about what God might do in the days to come, we stand here amazed by the story of this unexpected, remarkable woman. Friends, may we remember that God is always calling us to take a great risk of great faith, even and especially in unexpected encounters with unexpected people. And when those opportunities come, friends, it is the sincere prayer of my heart that we might be brave enough to take that great risk, that we might be brave enough to have that great faith so that we too can be active agents for God's grace and healing and restoration in this world. Will you pray with me? Oh, our God, this day, even in the midst of this difficult scripture, especially in the midst of this difficult scripture story, God, we are grateful. We are grateful that you are a God who is affected by us. We are grateful that you are a God who is always faithful to change and transform and heal and restore all that is broken within us and within your world. This day, our God, as our hearts turn to you to be shaped by you, Lord, we ask, God, that you would pour out your grace on us, that you would fill us with your peace, that you would be the light in our midst, the one to whom we can turn for unexpected transformation and grace. It is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit we lift our prayer to you this day. Amen.